You may be seated. Most of us at one time or another have cheered desperately for an athletic team. The team may have been professional, college, high school. The sport may have been football, baseball, hockey, or another sport. You may even be able to remember the names of some of the players. For me, it was the Los Angeles Lakers in the early 1970s when my family lived in Southern California. Pat Riley was a journeyman player for the Lakers who, at his summer basketball camps, I got to volunteer to be a coach. At the end of the camp, the coaches got to scrimmage against Pat Riley and some of his friends. If you remember some of these names, they were people like Jerry West, Happy Harrison, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain. That is when I learned how far, far away my pro basketball career was. They were really good. When we think back on our team, though, we recall a strange relationship that developed when our team was successful. We received some glory when friends would say, "Wow, Dave, your team was successful," or "I can't believe your team is doing so well." I received glory for the success of the team as though I was out on the court myself. We are receiving glory for something we have nothing to do with, glory we certainly do not deserve. Yet the undeserved glory that we receive is returned to the team. We cheer, we buy merchandise, we buy caps, t-shirts, foam fingers, whatever, to spread the glory. We can't wait to glorify the team by telling someone about the team's most recent victory. Our God has been very successful too. He created a beautiful world in which we live. He sustains and provides for this world, the entire world, every day, 24/7. He sent his son into the world, into this sinful world, to live, to suffer, to die. Then on the third day, he raised him from the dead, and he lifted him to eternal life. He forgives the sins of those who ask and gives the promise of life everlasting to those who trust in Jesus. Our God is certainly a winner too. Through the blessing of our gracious God, we are winners too. We share in his glory. In baptism, we share in his death and resurrection and are glorified and made his very own children through water and the word. We share in the glory of God when we confess our sins before the throne of God and find forgiveness there as well. We share in the glory of God when we read his word and remember his promises of love and deliverance. We share in the glory of God when we partake of the Lord's Supper, his very body and blood given and shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God has allowed us to share in his glory. Now, we in no way have earned or deserved that glory, but God loves us so much that he gives it to us anyway. 1 Peter says it this way: "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." If this was the 11 o'clock service, I put a question in here for the confirmants. We'll see if we can get them a little nervous. But I encourage you to take time daily to bask in the undeserving glory of God. Read his word. Pray to him. Take a deep breath, slow down, and listen to the Holy Spirit who's speaking to you and trying to guide you. Since God has allowed us to share in his glory, we want to return that glory back to God. Jesus tells us in our gospel lesson that he will no longer be in the world, but that we are still in the world. Now, we remember that Jesus already has assured us that we have another counselor beside him by our side, the promised Holy Spirit. But now he prays for the Father will also protect his own in the world. So I got to thinking, but we are left in the world to do what? We are to give the glory back to God. How do we do that? How do we give glory back to the Father as Jesus did? If you listened closely to our epistle lesson this morning, the scripture told us, and it's important for each of us to remember. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That's a hard word for us humans. Humble yourself. Verse 7 was, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Life creates tension. Not a day goes by. And God says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and have a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There's no shortage of sin in the world. If we get lazy, we start slipping. We start drifting. He tells us, be alert, be a sober mind. Your enemy is out there looking to trip you up some more. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Look around the room. Your brothers and sisters, they live in this world too. They're suffering too. Everyone is tempted. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Stand with the family of God. And what will happen? He goes, and the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself, Jesus, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, steadfast. He gives you a promise. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You see, we are what people see of Jesus in our world today. We reflect his glory. It's our responsibility to be the light of glory of Jesus to the world. People notice how we treat other people, especially those closest to us. People notice how we respond when someone has done us harm. People notice how we respond to a crisis in our lives. I still remember in college in 1972, one of the chaplains we went to chapel every day, played the song from Chicago, "The Whole World Is Watching." The whole world is watching. I still remember that. The whole world is watching. In all that we say and do, we want to reflect the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So listen carefully. We reflect the glory of our Lord best, listen carefully, when we don't try to reflect perfection, which is impossible. We reflect the glory of the Lord best when we reflect forgiveness. We joyfully and thankfully receive the forgiveness of God, and then without hesitation, pass that forgiveness on to others. When we leave this world, God will fully glorify us with Him forever in heaven. There we will finally see and fully partake of the glory of the Father, not as a reward, but as a promise, an eternal inheritance for all believers. But until that day, we pray that God would use us daily to glorify His name in this world, in all that we do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.